I've got the purple paper, so I went with colors. All right, I'm Jessica, and I get Genesis 39, 1 through 15. And so it's about temptations and passions and purity. And so I'm going to go ahead and start out by reading the first six verses, and then I'll pray after that and jump into it. So verse 1 says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in the house and in the field. Thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate." Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the truths that you have there as we seek it, and how you show us and open our eyes. And Lord, just open our eyes to what you have to say to us, and open our hearts to receive it, Lord. And I thank you for what you have shown me and taught me through this. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so Joseph was taken down to a place he had never intended, a place not of his choosing. In this time, God was still faithful to Joseph. As you read in this passage, the Lord with Joseph, or blessing Joseph, it's written five times. After just saying that he was bought into slavery. He's bought into slavery, but God is with him. God is blessing him. You would think that when Joseph was taken from his home and sold into slavery, people would think, well, God's not with him. He's not there. He was a victim of his brothers and of this master for buying him. Nothing he had was his own. Joseph was faithful to God, to where God had put him, even when it was difficult. God prospered somebody else's house for Joseph's sake. Joseph was in a bad place, yet he found favor in Potiphar's sight. He could have been angry, and people would have thought, you have a right to be angry. Look at what's done to you. Look what had been done to him. Look what his family had done to him. He could have played the victim card, but he did not. He served wherever God put him. He was faithful more to his God because he feared the Lord. He loved the Lord, and even when he didn't understand what was going on, he was faithful to wherever God had put him. What about us? When we are sometimes put somewhere that we didn't intend to go, that we never wanted to go, do we play the victim card and justify our actions because of what others have done to us? Or do we realize that wherever we are, God is with us? Do we resort to taking care of it ourselves and pulling up our bootstraps because we have to be strong and we have to take care of this because nobody else will? Or do we run to Jesus and let him be our strength? Do we fear the Lord and know that his will is perfect, even when things are hard, and know that he is always with us? Is your hope in the Lord, or is your hope in an escape? Whatever that escape may be for you. One of my colors is red, and red stands for danger. When we're playing the victim card, we face the danger of an even greater sin, falling into even greater sin. Yes, what was done to us was wrong, but ultimately, God let that happen. And God can take, as was said earlier, whatever is done to us and make beauty from ashes. Let God take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to use it for our good and his glory. Where's our focus? Is it on the red anger and danger that we're in? On what's been done to us? Or is it on the Lord? So let's jump back into verse 6. "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused, and his master's wife, to his master's wife, And he said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in his house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men in the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So Joseph was probably in Potiphar's house for around 11 years. And God was working in Joseph the whole time. He was faithful to grow and serve wherever he was. God was preparing him for what would come next. Joseph was faithful with the small things, to growing to the point of overseeing a whole household. And looking ahead, we know God had even bigger plans. But it all started with being faithful in the small. And God put him in places to grow and learn to prepare him for what was ahead. And Potiphar's wife had been watching Joseph for 11 years and was very forward when she decided she wanted him. We don't know much about her. Maybe Potiphar's marriage wasn't going so great and she felt she could pursue pleasure elsewhere. Also read that in Egypt, there were pretty low moral standards for women. She may have been looking for any kind of a relationship, just a good time. And you know what? In our culture, we're lied to about sexuality as well. Having sex is just about having fun and being free. But everything in our lives should be about living for Christ and not being in bondage to any kind of sin. Sex isn't just some act. It means something. And Joseph knew that. Red can mean passion. As we talked earlier, it's also danger. As we let our emotions and our passions control and lead us, it can lead us into great danger. We leave death and destruction along the way. Red also stands for power. When we try to live in our power, we fail. We need to be reminded who we are ultimately sinning against. Joseph would leave destruction behind if he gave in to this temptation. But ultimately, he was focused on his God and not himself. It's the fear of the Lord, being more concerned with what our God thinks than what the world or even what we think or feel. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our emotions and we can't trust our feelings. Notice when he first refused the temptation, it still came after him. How long was this day by day? Was it all 11 years? We don't know. But even when he set his standards and he refused the first time, it didn't stop his tempter. Remember, God was with Joseph and he's being tempted. Even in this temptation, he was not left alone. But Joseph, with God's help, made some choices along the way to resist this temptation. First of all, Joseph did not flirt with this temptation or his tempter. He didn't talk with her. He didn't go seek her out. He didn't cast longing eyes her way. He didn't let his mind dwell on that offer. No. Second, he remembered his responsibilities. She was his master's wife. He knew what he had to lose. Third, he remembered whose she was. You belong to somebody else. She wasn't his. And guess what? You all belong to somebody else as well. You belong to God. Remember whose you are. Fourth, this is a big one. He looked at the act for what it was. It was great wickedness. As we live in this world, At times, it tries to desensitize us to the sin around us. It tries to make it seem normal and okay. We need to remember what sin is. The world tries to make sin seem acceptable, not really sin. It's okay to drink a little because, well, a little more because, well, I deserve this. It helps me have a break. I need to relax. God calls us to be sober-minded. It's okay my friends are leading an alternative lifestyle because they love each other and, you know, we're called to love. It's okay that I'm sharing my emotions with this other man who's not my husband because he listens to me and my husband's always busy and I don't think he really loves me anyway. It's okay that I'm watching these shows that, well, you know, they kind of cross the line but, you know, it's not real anyway. It's just entertainment, something to take my mind off what's going on. It's okay that I lose my temper and I get angry because, you know what, they had it coming anyway. Did you see what they did to me? And I just needed to get it out so I could get it over with. It's okay that I told that person what was going on with these other people that I know when they confided in me because, you know, they really needed the prayer. It's okay that I'm spending all this money that I don't really have because I deserve everything that I purchased. I don't know about you, but I keep getting emails that say, you know, they're advertising things and say, you deserve this. Okay? All it is covetousness. We're not content with what God has provided us. We want more, always more. It's okay that I nag my husband about not leading our family, being a spiritual leader, because, you know, that's what God has called him to. It's okay that I overeat when I really enjoy food because I'm finding pleasure in what I eat when our pleasure should come from the Lord. When, you know, obviously, it's really more about self-control. It's okay that I exaggerate a little on my resume and shade myself in a better light because I have to go out and fight to get ahead and get what I want. It's okay that I'm sleeping with my boyfriend because he loves me and I love him and we're going to get married one day anyway. And it's okay that I'm flirting with another man because my husband ignores me. And you know, this is never going to go anywhere anyway. Run. Flee from these things. It will only pull you further and further in. Sin is never satisfied. We need to be with God to be reminded what is really sin. It is a great wickedness. And sometimes, to just remember what sin really is. It's about God's standards and not the world's. The world will call evil good and good evil. The world has changed words and the way things are seen to soften the blow of sin. But it is great wickedness. I've worked in a public school and I've worked in a Christian school. Kids are sinners no matter where they're at. One thing I've noticed that is different is in a public school, they flaunt their sin. They become proud of it. We have Pride Month now. Proud of your sin. In a Christian school, a lot of the kids, they don't flaunt it. They've learned to become good deceivers. Don't be a deceiver. Don't deceive yourself. Remember what sin is, and remember who you are really sinning against, which is the next thing Joseph did. The fifth thing. Joseph remembered who the sin was really against. Sin against God. We need to remember who the sin is really against. Joseph was more worried about what his God thought than what man thought. He probably could have gotten away with this, and not a single person would have known. We can get away with sin, and no one may ever find out. His job could have been secure. His life could have gone on as a slave. But he cared more for God than for man. Ultimately, his refusal cost him everything he had. But God was still with him. What will our refusal of sin cost us? But oh, think about what we will gain. God loves us, and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He is kind, overflowing with mercy. It's our fear of the Lord, our love for him, because he actually first loved us. That's what makes us desire to not sin against him. Keep our focus on God. Joseph made some choices to avoid being alone with her, with his temptations, but she set it up to be alone with him. Our enemy brings things our way sometimes when we are weak, when we're alone, when no one is around to help, when we've been in the same slave situation year after year. Just because we refuse once doesn't mean the temptation won't come back. Sometimes they're gone, and sometimes they poke their head back up when we're least expecting it. And sometimes those temptations can get really, really strong. Joseph's temptation, she became too much. Because he kept his focus on the Lord and maintaining his purity before God, he knew that he had to leave what he had and flee. He was no longer concerned for what might be thought of him, of what might happen to him. His only concern in that moment was his God and not to give in to temptation. I don't think he wanted to leave his garment behind. I think he had to. Her grip was so strong on it, he had to leave it to get away. Put off all things that hinder us and run the race God has called us to. He's called us to live a life of purity. We can't live a life of perfection, but to pursue purity. Now, purity is more than sexual purity. It's a lifestyle of choices. It's what we think. It's where we go. It's how we act. It's not a list of just don'ts. It's a lot of do's. Do put things into our mind that will be holy and righteous to renew our mind from what the world calls good. Don't be focused on what you can't do. Be focused on what you can do. White's my second color. And white's the color that God calls us to live by. White stands for purity and innocence. Be innocent of evil. It stands for freshness, cleanness. Jesus died on the cross to take his red blood to wash us white as snow. With his blood, we are clean. It's Jesus that makes us clean. We cannot live a perfect life, but we can pursue it by the choices we make. Just because we have fallen in the past does not mean we have to continue to live in our shame and failures and keep us from new successes. God's mercy is new every morning. He doesn't put shame on us. Conviction, yes, but not shame. We will fall and we will fail, but pursue purity. Don't let what others think, what the world thinks, about the barriers and standards that you have to set to hold you back from being all that God wants you to be. White also stands for a blank slate and a fresh start. That's what God gives us when we live in his will. And that blank slate could be new every day. White also stands for freshness. When we walk in the purity he calls us to, it brings a cleanness, freshness, and a simplicity. We don't have to carry the burden anymore. Jesus took it from us. Don't take it back. Don't let the enemy of our soul lie to us and tell us we will never change. He's a liar and a deceiver. Find someone who will keep you accountable that you can share with. Don't let shame keep you from telling someone what's going on. All shame does is bind us. Be wise in who you share things with, but tell it. Don't hide. Be like Joseph, who left it all to pursue purity. He lost everything he had to take a stand for what was right, even when the culture said, it's okay. Are we willing to lose it all to gain everything? Don't be deceived. Ephesians 5:5 says, no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 10 goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Walk in those works, even in difficult seasons. Even in the slavery seasons, we can still walk. Sometimes we have to run after Christ and away from temptations, because he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. The question is, will you stay with him? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word and the truths that you have there. And Lord, I thank you that in the midst of temptations and trials and struggles, that you are always with us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that we can always run to you. And Jesus, I just pray that you will just continue to speak to our hearts and make us all that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.